Hey, everybody, I'm Nick Layton.
And I'm Leah Bonema.
And we're the hosts of Were You Raised by Wolves?
Each week, we try to make the world a kinder, nicer place.
Well, that's the idea, at least.
I mean, we try.
Have you ever wondered what to do if you're ghosted?
Or what to do when a friend asks you to borrow money?
Or the proper way to eat Cheetos?
You know, the big questions.
So please find Were You Raised by Wolves wherever you listen.
This piece was brought to you by Roberta's, robertaspizza.com.
You're listening to Heritage Radio Network. We're a member-supported food radio network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. Join our hosts as they lead you through the world of craft brewing, behind the scenes of the restaurant industry, inside the battle over school food, and beyond. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
Coming out of the gate strong today, unlike the New York Yankees, who've got themselves
in a
Houston-sized hole.
Oh, man. Those Yankees. I know. Have you been watching this?
I have been watching. Let me tell you about
it. Is that too soon?
Let me tell you.
We're getting into this
too soon.
Is it too quick?
Let me tell you. We're back on Arts and Seizures, Mike Edison, here with everybody's favorite pizza, Pizza Rumba. And let me tell you, Pete, how I feel.
Thank you.
How I feel about the New York Yankees. I had a bad breakup with the Yankees, like a real bad divorce. I mean, I was a big Yankee fan. I bled pinstripes when I was a kid, and I was heartened by the Yankees in the late 90s. Well, you know, corporate sports just suck, and I hated that, you know, that vampire, that turd, George Steinbrenner. When they were building the new stadium, that was sort of really the end of the day with me. I didn't like the way they treated Joe Torre. They put the organ on auction, the old lowry organ that was at Yankee Stadium. Yeah. Put on auction.
Well, they can make a buck.
Because they weren't selling $1,400 seats. When they built the new stadium, I mean, that was sort of the last straw.
It was.
Because $1,400 seats, you know, and they want all these tax abatements for the city. And what do I get from it? I mean, really, I've been a fan my whole life. I lived through Billy Ball and Stump Ball and Dallas Ball and Bucky Ball, you know. I mean, I was with them through the 80s, and they would, like, barrel into, like, fourth place behind the Brewers.
That's right.
And
I like them.
And for what? So my feeling right now about the Yankees is they're like an ex-girlfriend who publicly I wish very well, but secretly I rejoice when their hearts get broken.
I know the feeling, and I got to say, though, but they've been victim of a lot of hanky-panky in the old baseball tradition, I think.
They're a victim of hanky-panky.
Yes, actually, but the good thing about the Yankees is you don't have to feel sorry for them, ever, right? do not feel sorry for the New York Yankees.
I'm always suspect of dynasties anyway, but I do miss the days of the old
sounds like a Chinese restaurant.
The Bronx Zoo.
Oh, yeah, off the bleachers,
you know,
there.
Munson and Lyle and that gang. I ever tell you I got stoned with Goose Gossage one time? That was pretty good.
You got stoned with Goose Gossage?
yeah. We just ran into him at the rodeo bar one night, and he looks exactly like Goose Gossage, you know. He's still
working. Said you're the goose, right?
Still putting the mustache gimmick over.
Oh, man.
And we were talking to him. I was with a very pretty girl, which didn't hurt, who was a big fan. And we went out and got him stoned. He asked us if we knew any place we could get some weed, and we took him out and got him stoned. And he was very nice. He left us tickets for Old Timers Day the next day.
He did?
Yeah, we got to go see courtesy of Goose Gossage.
You should call Goose up. Maybe get some...
Goose!
Call him up. Say, remember me?
Yeah. He was my favorite, man. I loved watching a bitch man throw like 12,000 miles an hour.
I have to say that one of the first times I grew up a Mets fan, and then I got converted.
That can't be easy.
It wasn't easy.
I see the scars.
I got converted, though, by our drummer, Bill Millhiser, who took me up. You know, we used to go up to the bleachers. And we actually were there with the famous haircut game with manager Stump Merrill. So yeah. That was real baseball. The famous haircut King.
The old stadium, man. That was something else.
Now I mean, it's the house next to the house. Whoa, quite a crowd here tonight.
You know, I swear, though, I've said it publicly too many times, I will never go to the new Yankee Stadium. I just,
really?
You know, corporate sports still suck. You know, we'll get to this.
It's the house next to the house.
We have a special guest, you know, coming on a little bit later. We're going to get to it. I think,
special phone-a-rama.
I think a ballpark should be a cathedral, not a shopping mall.
Mm.
You know, it's just enough is enough.
Enough with
this stuff. Baseball used to be an affordable thing. It always cost less than a movie when I was growing up.
Yes, it should cost less than a movie.
You know, it's crazy.
How's the working class guy going to bring his kids to the... The organist here at Roberta's.
We've got quite a house, the house that Pizza built.
It's playoff time, and Roberta's is packed. Absolutely packed with a rabid crowd.
That's good. They're hanging in there. But they're great, though. I got to say.
They're great.
They're very nice. I think Girardi's kind of a jughead, but I have been enjoying this Yankee team.
I've been enjoying it.
And the Houston pitching is just unbelievable. And they play baseball inside with short lines on either side, which is disgusting. It's despicable.
It's a gimmick.
It's despicable. Baseball inside was like an experiment that failed when they tried it, you know, years ago. Why not have an indoor boat race while you're at it? What the fuck?
Although I have to say, my favorite team plays in an indoor park, the Rays in Tropicana Field.
Not into it.
But now I'm watching Madden manage a real team, and he's gained weight. Have you noticed that? I think his paycheck is a little bit heftier.
Well, they've been doing okay, the Cubs.
He was starving down in Tampa, right? Who knows what he was making?
Are there any good curses left?
No, that's a curse, right? They're right. That's wrong to him. Something's going to happen to Madden, right?
Well,
breaking that curse. It's like King Tut's. King Tut finally got all those guys. It took a while, right? King Tut.
So it's like rubbing the monkey's paw or something.
Oh yeah.
Taking the genie out of the bottle. Be careful what you ask for.
What do you got there? You got something.
I don't know. Tell you what, I heard you got something cooking, Pete.
I heard you got something cooking, Mikey.
Well,
you know, with all this talk about baseball, I heard that you put together an Arts and Seizures baseball team.
You know what, Pete? I did, and I want to tell you about it. Hey, Vitor, why don't you drop me an old school beat?
No, who's the manager? Who's the manager of this team? I bet you are, right?
Oh, count on it.
Oh, right. So you're the manager?
Oh, you better believe I'm the manager. Arts and Seizures, baby.
Is Steve Wynn on this team or what?
Oh, God, he's on tour all the time.
Mike, where are you from, though? You're a fan of where are you from?
I'm from South America.
What do you mean? You don't look like no South American to me. Where?
South Jersey.
Oh, you're from South Jersey. Oh, man. Well, look, I'd like to know.
There we go.
Look, Mikey, I'd like to know the names of the guys on this team that you put together.
All right. Vitor, hit me with that beat, daddy-o.
Vitor, you got that.
There we go.
There you go.
I want to tell you about my team.
Tell them about the team.
Well, they got funny names these days, you know.
Well, what type of names they got?
Stinky Field.
Oh, yeah, I like
Goofy
Stinky
Dan.
Goofy Dan, I like him. Booby Barber, you know him? Look, I know they give these players some pretty funny names.
Well, let me tell you, the guy we have on first, well, who's on first, what's on second, and I don't know who's on third.
Are you the manager?
Yes!
Well, then don't you know the guy's name?
I sure do.
Well, then tell me the guy's name.
Pete, I told you, who's on first, what's on second, I don't know who's on third.
You're the manager.
That's right, I'm the manager.
Then tell me the guy's name.
I'm telling you their names.
Well, who's on first?
That's right.
What's on first? Listen, you know what, Mike? You're a pretty ugly guy.
Oh, yeah, Pete.
Yeah? Yeah? You call me ugly?
Yeah, Pete.
Yeah?
I know what you are. You're that thing I throw peanuts at the zoo.
Yeah, but you know what? Every time I go to the zoo, I got to get two tickets.
Oh!
I messed up that.
Every time you go to the zoo,
look,
Pete?
Look, I don't care.
Pete, you're so ugly. When you were born, the doctor slapped the doctor.
Mike.
Slap your mother.
You got some nerve calling me ugly. You're so ugly. When you were little, your mother used to have to put a sheet over you so sleep can sneak up on you.
Oh, man. The first ever Bo Diddley and Costello mashup. We're making a total hash of it.
No,
we're not. Let me tell you about this baseball.
Tell me about the baseball team. Look, you're the manager, right? Who's on first?
Who's on first?
Well, who's on first?
That's right. The guy playing first base.
Well, go ahead and tell me.
Who? The guy on first.
Who's that?
What are you asking for me? I'm telling you.
Who's playing first?
The guy, that's his name. Who?
What?
Yes.
The guy, who's on first?
That's the man's name.
Well, look, what are you asking me for? I'm telling you, who's on first?
I don't want to hurt your feelings.
Well, yeah, look, my feelings are already hurt by being here with you.
But I'm telling you, who is on first?
Okay. Who's, what's his name?
Who?
Who's the man's name?
Who?
Well, go ahead and tell me.
I'm telling you, that's the guy's name. Who's on first?
Well, what are you asking me for?
Oy vey.
I'm asking you, who's on first?
Oy vey.
Look, look, let me ask you something.
All right, ask me something.
Okay. Now, look, I'm asking you, who's on first?
That's right.
Okay. Well, then who's on first?
Yes.
Okay. Look, Mike, you know what? I'm going to tell you something about your girlfriend.
Oh, yeah?
Look, I was walking down the street with her, you know?
Yeah?
Yeah, and the wind was blowing her hair, you know what I'm saying? And then the wind blew her hair into her face.
Oh, yeah?
You know what I'm saying?
No, Pete, and then what happened?
And then what happened? Well, then the wind blew her hair into my face.
Oh, yeah, and then what happened?
Well, I'm going to tell you, you know, the wind blew her hair into the street.
Oh, man.
Now, look. Who... Look, I don't know, right?
No, that's third base.
He's on third. Now, we're not talking about
it. I don't know who's on third. Look, who's on first?
Do you have a first baseman?
Yes.
Well,
I'm telling you.
Tell me the name. Tell me the fellow's name who's playing first.
Who's on first?
Well, who's playing first?
That's right.
Okay. Well, what's the guy's name on first base?
Listen, every week I pay the guy. Yeah. Who do you think I give the receipt to?
What?
Who? That's right, who?
Well, who? How does he, what, does he give you a receipt?
He signs it.
Well, then how does he sign the receipt?
Who?
The guy you give the money to.
Yes, that's right.
Well, who do you give the money to?
Yes.
Well, who signs it?
Oh, man. Hey, baby. Tell you what, I think it's time we call up like the dean.
We need someone to help us out.
We need someone to help us get out of this hole. Dug us out of here.
Who's going to help us?
The dean of Fleshtone biographers.
You kidding? Who could that be?
We got Joe Bonomo. I think is coming up to join us soon.
Famous, all right. Famous author of Filmland, Joe Bonomo.
Author of Filmland, monsters of Filmland.
You know, he's our special Phonorama guest, isn't he?
I don't know.
Joe Bonomo?
Third base.
Following along, that's tradition.
I don't know.
Third base.
Phonorama guests.
Oh, wait a second. I hear beaming directly from Chicago.
Live from Chicago.
Is that
Chicago
in Illinois?
Land.
Where he's still smacking from Rule 713. How's it going, Joe?
Hey, I like that Abbott and Costello meet Bo Diddley and Jerome. That was good stuff.
Only on Arts and Seizures.
That's right. It's like track. I prefer Bo Diddley meets Abbott and Costello to Dracula meets Abbott and Costello.
Actually, we are confused because we've been watching these.
You're telling me.
We've been watching these playoff games, Joe, and I have to say they've been pretty crazy.
They've been fantastic, don't you think?
Oh, I think that it's fantastic entertainment. But you know, I've got a beef with some of the rules. But you're a Chicago fan, right? You think?
Well, they weren't working in your favor last night.
Oh hell no. You think Madden's been putting on weight? I think he's been getting a better paycheck in Chicago.
The lean years are over.
Right.
I think he's been stress eating.
He's been stress eating? I don't know.
So what happened? So, Joe, you've been writing about this a lot on your blog and on the interweb. A lot of rule changes happen in baseball, which to me is sacrilege. I mean, it works. Don't fix it. It ain't broke.
I mean, listen, I'm in the minority. I don't think baseball needs instant replay, but it's here to stay.
I agree. No, I absolutely agree. And, you know, that's why we have a long season. Everything gets evened out. Bad calls are going to be part of the game. But these are professional umpires. I don't like them being second-guessed by a TV audience. I don't think it's good for the game.
No, I just that play, the Cubs Nationals play when Contreras picked off Lopatin at first base.
Yeah.
That was ridiculous.
That was ridiculous.
And what about last night, the play at the
plate? Whoa, the play at the plate.
Rule 713.
What do you think about that?
Well, listen, I think it's there to protect the catcher, but it's a long-standing play in the game. I don't know how you can mess around with it.
I think it's there to protect the students in our universities.
I see. It's supposed to trickle down. You're one of those liberals who want to take the fights out of hockey,
I think it's a safe place for the catchers and the runners.
I don't know. And people have been getting creamed at the plate since the thing began way back in ancient Egypt.
I mean, what are cleats for, right? What are cleats for?
Yeah, Ty Cobb.
Right. I mean, you know. So he was blocking him. Now, okay, Joe. I thought long. Tell us what you think about that. I know it worked out in, it didn't work out in the Cubs' favor. The Dodgers. What do you think about that? What happened last night? Tell me.
What, at play of the plate?
Yes, with Contreras and.
Well, listen, I think it's a matter of rules going up against common sense. You know what I mean?
I think.
Ain't
so.
That the American way, though?
That is the American way.
And I'm going to say something. Even even if they handed him and said, okay, you're safe, I still say he's out. And I'm going to tell you why.
Well, now I'm confused.
Yeah, no.
I mean, more than usual.
Okay. Here's why I say he's still out, even if they handed him that he was safe. Contreras, okay, knowing the rules of the game, you watch him when he actually, after he crossed home plate, he actually took four or five paces to tag him with the ball.
Well, the guy never touched the plate.
The guy, exactly. The guy, okay, you can say he's safe. He's
got to touch the fucking plate. That is the rule.
Exactly.
Right?
He never bothered getting up, even though Contreras bothered tagging him. He never got up, even after it was all said and done, and just walked over and touched the plate. He never touched the plate.
I thought the same thing.
Okay, we all thought the
same. It's a crappy rule. You know what's a better rule? Rule 34. That's the one that says if it exists, there is pornography of it. No exceptions. Oh. So what I did is I did a little search for baseball porn in my spare time. Yeah. What I was really hoping for was to
you
get
got
like,
some spare time.
I was trying to get some. I mean, I found a lot of like girls in like baseball uniforms and some really unseemly acts with baseball bats and the like. But what I was really looking for was those crammed Yankees.
Oh.
Or the Boston Red Sox.
Uh-oh.
Or maybe some gay porn, pitchers and catchers. Or the Bad News Bears.
Baseball goes.
This is a national pastime, Mike.
The Bad News Bears, that was my big joke.
Baseball goes blue with Mike Edison.
I did find out, though, interestingly enough, that the Kansas City Royals have porn education for their players. And that, according to TMZ, their general manager, Dayton Moore, actually they have an education program to teach players about the effects of what porn does to their minds.
I don't think it's just that team. I think a lot of teams have that.
A porn education?
Yeah.
America's other pastime.
It's going around the league. Hey, Peter, let me ask you a question.
Ask me.
How did a Mets fan end up becoming a Tampa Bay Rays fan?
Okay. A long recovered Mets fan. I haven't been a Mets fan since 1965.
Oh, is that right?
So, that's right. And then in the interim, Bill Millhiser converted me into a Yankees fan during the reign of the great Stump Merrill.
That's a difficult thing to do. Turn somebody during the Stump years.
And the fact is that my dad's beautiful girlfriend is a huge Rays fan, and she took to taking us to see the Rays. And when Madden was doing his magic down there, and it was a great thing to watch.
But Joe, it's easy. Pete's like an old Jew. He like wants to move from Long Island to Florida. I mean, basically,
it's the Florida connection.
I got 1 foot in Tampa. Joe, listen.
Yeah.
The other rule that's suddenly come very important during all this, 608, interference at the plate with the batter. All of a sudden, it's like everyone's calling this interference at the plate bullshit.
Because Buster Posey broke his leg, and now baseball's worried, you know.
Well, because we've been playing the game for a zillion years, and one famous guy got hurt. But that play has been happening forever. That's what happens.
I
mean, someone's going to get hurt playing baseball. It is, at some level, a contact sport. It's not ice hockey. It's not pro wrestling, of course. But, you know, that's it. I mean, that's it. You're supposed to break up a double play by sliding in high. I'm not advocating that you injure people purposely. No one wants to see anybody get hurt playing the game. But that's part of it. A brushback pitch is part of the game. No one wants to see anybody get beaned, okay? But that's my motherfucking
retaliation.
Play. Back off.
Retaliation,
you lead over that
bean
play,
ball.
Listen, I tweeted last night somewhere Thurman Munson is laughing.
Yeah.
You know? These old school guys, they just wouldn't get it.
It's sissy stuff. It's not right.
But 608 with like that the catcher's mitt was somehow in the way. And what are they doing?
You mean in a Cubs Nationals game? Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
But that came up also in a Yankees game. And Girardi refused to even, he had the ability to take the penalty. He said no.
Thurman Munson. I mean, these guys were, you know, just like a race of giants, the men of
which. Yeah, no kidding, yeah.
You know, everything's their contracts are so expensive these days. You know, I mean, it's always amazing to see a guy pitch 9 innings the other night because usually everyone lives in fear of their high-priced pitcher's arms. You know, I mean, how long has it been since you've seen a guy?
That was a beautiful thing to see Verlander go 9 innings. A beautiful thing.
Absolutely, absolutely, absolutely amazing. But, you know, again, I'm really tired of corporate sports. It's kind of why I backed off of it. I mean, I'm loving the postseason, but it was difficult for me. Like what I said before is that baseball parks should be treated like cathedrals, not shopping malls. And I'm just tired of being like pounded with this like corporate plastic mentality.
The house next to the house that that they built.
I mean, admittedly, the old Yankee Stadium was a dump. I mean, it was like this concrete toilet bowl of a place. A lot of great history there. But, you know, I used to go to 25 baseball games a year because it was affordable. I could sit the bleachers. I could sit upstairs for $5.
I thought you... Who in the normal season, who do you go for, Joe? I thought you were a Sox guy.
I'm a late adopter. Yeah, because I grew up without a team. See, I grew up in suburban D.C.
Without a team.
And the Senators,
right?
So I sort of pulled for the Orioles by default, but they never felt like a home team. Then I moved to Ohio for grad school, where I started watching WGN.
Yeah,
and I started watching the Sox games in the '80s.
Sure.
And became a fan.
Okay, the Cubs are kind of a yuppie team, right?
Isn't that
right?
Yeah.
Come on.
Great park, though. You can't beat that.
They're
park.
Not a yuppie team. They're a boutique baseball team.
Well, when I used to go see the Cubs sometimes, I mean, I was always shocked, though, but it was yuppies in the cheap seats because the bleachers had that sort of buzz about them, sort of that.
The last time I saw the Cubbies was with the... Okay, Hexbreaker was our latest album. The whole band went with Carlos Grasso, vice president of IRS Records, and we all took LSD. So
I've seen baseball now. It's awesome.
Yeah. Very good. Awesome. Excellent LSD game.
I went to
Peter,
a
dog. Peter, how did I miss that story in Sweat? That's a good one.
I see you missed a lot of stuff.
I went to a doubleheader on acid.
A doubleheader.
We were in the baseball park for about 8 hours. It was like better than any Grateful Dead concert.
When was this in like
possibly imagine.
1917? When was the last doubleheader?
Let's play.
Hey Peter, speaking of ballparks, did you ever
what
get
is it,
to
who's on second? Who's
the Mets?
No, that's first base.
Who's on first?
That's right.
The Polo Grounds, I will say, is guilty for spoiling me forevermore about baseball parks. That was the park of parks.
The
Polo Grounds was the most amazing place to be introduced to baseball, you know?
Yeah, I've read about it.
So you did see games.
I saw many games at the Polo Grounds. Cool. Many games. That's where I first went to see baseball with my dad. Because he wanted to see National League ball, so we went up to see the Mets.
And the Polo Grounds, though, well, like the deep outfield was like 450 feet or something insane.
I think it was a half a mile,
right? And then you look at this like stupid like finished basement, basically that the Astros play in. It's like Quonset hut, you know, of a fucking stadium, and it's like 315 feet down the line. It's bullshit. Except, by the way, I consider that cheating. It's like too much of a home field advantage.
Cheating.
I like baseball because the distances haven't changed, and aside from lowering or raising the pitcher's mound, which I'm also against because it was perfect, and like the ball getting a little juiced and stuff, I like the fact, the elegance that we're playing basically the same game since the very beginning when we started, but it's cheating to have an indoor field with short. It's too much of a home field advantage. You know, it's tipping the scale too much when you play that many games. If you play half your season in that field, and you could hire guys who are like dead pole hitters to a short line down.
Yeah, But ballpark dimensions have always favored the home teams. That's part of the deception of baseball. It's a long tradition.
And I'll say this though. Also, I actually like cheating in baseball to a point.
Oh, I do too.
I don't mean to be morally ambiguous professional wrestling fan that I am, but like scuffing baseballs is great until you get caught, especially when it adds 5 years to a guy's career. You know, stealing signs with like eye watches is not cool though. Okay.
I didn't think
ceiling signs. Okay,
I thought caught was not cool.
Yeah,
and that's not the cool part.
That's not the cool part.
No, being no.
Caught.
I mean, scuffing baseballs, I tolerate. Somehow, corking bats seems like a little wrong, though. Like, I don't know. It's like tampering with baseball seems okay.
They lowered the mound in '69. They didn't raise it.
That's right. That's right.
And yeah.
The famous pine tar game.
Pine tar compared to what about like a baseball bat exploding with like, you know, super balls all over the infield.
You guys have to admit though, but despite the complaining we're doing, this generation of ball players is pretty incredible right now.
I can't believe the quality of baseball we've been watching the last couple of days. And I'll be honest with you, I mean, I've kind of drifted because of,
very
like I said, it's become very corporate and I can't believe commercials. And Jesus Christ, if I have to listen to, you know, this idiotic commentary, I mean, I've been watching the game my whole fucking life. It's like, oh, the Yankees really don't want to give up runs in the early innings. Yes, I know. The Yankees really don't want to leave Houston 2 in the hole. Yes, I know. The Yankees really have to like stop the Houston Astros from getting any more runs. Yes.
The Yankees really don't want to let Altuve get to first base. If he gets to first base, he's going to get to home.
Yeah, well,
I got to say, Altuve is my inner 12-year-old fan's favorite player.
He's absolutely great. And still, though, I'm like, I'm old school. I mean, to see a guy make the last out of third base, I mean, it's like, really, they deserve to lose. That's kind of shit they're going to pull. That's not good baseball.
Joe Bonomo.
All right, Joe Bonomo. Thanks, Joe, for
famous author of Filmland.
Happy playoffs, guys.
All right. Well,
happy to be here.
All right, glad. Thanks for coming on. And we're going to take a short break, and here's my big segue. Pete, we're going to take, I know, it's the fastest half hour in baseball today, but I still want to take a quick minute to celebrate baseball. Like I said, ballparks should be treated like cathedrals and not like shopping malls. So we're going to take a minute, listen to the great Sister Winona Carr sing The Ball Game.
Ah, yes.
And we're back.
Boy, are we back.
Those crammed Yankees. That was a good one, Pete.
Wow.
Oh, can you dig it? Thanks once again to Joe Bonomo, famous authors of Filmland and our favorite Flesh Tones biographer, because there are many, 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 many of them out there aspiring.
That's what I say. I don't, you know, they say, remember, why don't you write a book? I say, I don't have to write a book. People write books about me.
Pete, you're too busy making history to write it down.
I'm making history, baby. I'm still making history.
Right.
Down here at Roberta's.
Oh, geez, speaking of history, I can't believe we're at the Polo Grounds.
I was at the Polo Grounds many a time.
Tell me that time you were at the Ford Theater.
The Ford
President got shot.
Well, the Fleshtones were on stage, and it said, Ford Theater welcomes the Fleshtones.
All right, can
Tragic.
You
think
it? So, hey, you're on your way on holiday with your beautiful wife, Marilla. Let's wish her a very happy
birthday.
That's
why we're drinking.
So,
yes, that's why we're drinking.
Dark and stormies, but today is a day of...
Dark and stormy.
Aside
today.
From our friend Joe Bonomo, we're talking baseball, booze, Bermuda birthdays.
We're Bermuda bound tomorrow.
Putting a bee in your bonnet since 2 o'clock
today. To celebrate the Contessa's birthday in Bermuda.
Oh, La Contessa, I like that.
We're drinking these dark and stormies here, Mike, thank you. And I got to say that, unfortunately, it's going to be very dark and stormy in Bermuda for the 2 days we're there. So,
I ever tell you about the time when I used to be a weatherman? I wasn't actually a real meteorologist. I was just on-air weather talent.
Ooh.
More kayfabe. But,
delicious. Anyway...
You're going to Bermuda.
We're going to Bermuda. We're going to... You know what? I got a Groupon for one of the best resorts in Bermuda. A Groupon, no less.
Cambridge
Beaches.
The Groupon is sort of like... explains how you went from being a Mets fan to like a Florida Rays fan. It's that Jew thing.
Yeah, it's a Groupon, man. I got the Groupon.
You had a discount.
And we're going to Cambridge Beaches, which is very, very old school Bermuda. You know, pink cottages, the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And
Bermuda is very pink.
It's very pink. I'm bringing my real Bermuda shorts, pink Bermuda shorts.
Oh. Nice. That's Vito twirling the knobs right there. Well, once again, Pete, it has been the fastest half hour on the radio today.
What are you talking
about? You're
going
to go down to Bermuda.
I'm going to Bermuda.
And I hope the weather is... blue skies for you. But if it's dark and stormy, you'll do what couples do.
We're going to do
it. You'll drink and fight.
We're going to drink and fight. I have a lot of dark and stormies. Actually, the national drink of Bermuda is actually the swizzle.
The swizzle?
The swizzle, baby. I'll tell you about it next week.
Next week when you come back, we're going to write an instrumental called the swizzle.
The swizzle.
But meanwhile, we're going to take it out. Once again, Arts and Seizures, Pizza Remba. Mike Edison, that's before in the booth, thanks to Heritage Radio and our friends at Roberto's. Next week is Heavy Metal Week. Can you dig it? We're going to be louder than hell. Here we go. See ya.
Well, I want somebody to tell me what's wrong with me. Well, I want somebody. Tell me what's wrong with me.
trouble, so much is misery. Now Fannie Mae, baby, will you please come home? Fannie Mae, baby, will you please come home? I ain't had no loving girl since you've been gone. Now I can hear your name ringing on down the line. I can hear your name ringing all down the line. I wanna know, do you love me or am I wasting my time? As much as misery.
All right. We are the Bad News Bears. We'll see you next week. Heavy Metal and Arts and Seizure. Well, see ya.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to hear about exclusive events, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at @heritage_radio. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be a part of the food world's most innovative community? Rate the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join our community by becoming a member. Just click on the beating heart at the top right of our homepage. Thanks for listening.
Hi, listeners. We want to tell you about a podcast we're really digging. It's called Christopher Kimball's Milk Street Radio. Every week, they travel the world to find the most fascinating stories about food, including children who harvest cod tongues after school in Norway, and a detective who tracks down food thieves. And on Milk Street Radio, you can always find the unexpected. The comedian who ranks apples using an elaborate 100-point system, the secret history of grocery stores, and how to eat your way through Italy. They also interview the most beloved names in food like Jacques Pepin, Sola El Whaley, Jose Andres, Jet Tila, Ina Garten, Nigella Lawson, and Padma Lakshmi. Plus, co-hosts Christopher Kimball and Sarah Moulton do live calls with listeners and answer their questions about ingredients, techniques, and culinary mysteries. Like, why roasting a leg of lamb made one caller's oven explode? Ever wonder why your bread won't rise or your souffle falls flat? Chris and Sarah have the answers. You'll also hear from a rotating cast of contributors, including Kenji Lopez-Alt, Cheryl Day, Dan Pashman from The Sporkful, and Alex Inouz, a French guy cooking from YouTube. Take a listen at 177milkstreet.com/radio or just search your podcast app for Milk Street Radio.